Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
So we've been talking about thankfulness and how important it is to stay thankful and be in an attitude of gratitude, and we're to live that way. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you and me." So if we stay thankful, to be thankful is the key to mental health. When you're thankful, it will protect you from mental illness because you're going to your source. You see that? It says in James, "Do not be deceived." Do not be deceived. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. Every good thing comes from God. Nowhere else. When you acknowledge that, you're in healthy communication with God, and it makes you healthy. But when you forget that, you open yourself up to wrong things happening, and it'll start right in your thinking. Am I making sense? In everything, give thanks. Doesn't mean you're thankful for bad things or bad things happening. It means you're thankful even while they are happening, because you know there's a God that's going to help you in your situation. See that? All right. So we're going to talk about joy today. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think you're going to see joy in the same way after today. This is going to help you. Now, go with me to our foundational scripture. And we're going to look at our vision to build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for everyone here. We ask, Lord, that you remove anything that would clamor for our attention. That, Lord, we can give attention to what you're saying by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Teach us. You said, go into the world, preach the gospel. You said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all of my ways. Lord, we are on the Great Commission. It's being fulfilled right here in this little patch on Russell Road Church. Father, we thank you for it, and we're going to trust you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Now, we've been talking about authority. And authority is something that people don't even like that word. That's why, you know, I didn't want to have a graphic up there. Authority. Probably nobody would show up. People don't like to hear that. They don't want to understand. Because they don't like authority. We need to embrace authority. We need to say, give me more authority. And be willing to submit to authority. You see that? When you're willing to submit to authority, it removes things so God can get into your life and assist you and help you. But when you are resisting that authority, the word resist means to frustrate. The word frustrate means to prevent from obtaining a goal or purpose. God will make sure you don't fulfill His purpose if you resist authority. You see that? God will make sure you don't fulfill His purpose and plan for your life if you resist authority. And what's authority? All authority has been established by God. I didn't like what happened in the White House more than anybody. I didn't like it, but I know God put them there. Yeah, we're to pray for them. That's exactly right. But now listen to me. Authority, we have civil authorities. What are the civil authorities? The president, the vice president, the state senate, the police officers. Those are all civil authorities. All right? Those are government authorities. I'm sorry. Government authorities. So, then we have social authorities. Social authorities. What are social authorities? School teachers, coaches, bosses at work. You are to submit unto them. Unless they're asking you to lie and cheat and steal and whatever they're asking, you do it. As long as it's not against God's will. You see that? And when you're willing to come under that, God is going to protect you. Am I making sense? He said, let every soul, that includes you and me, be subject. The word subject means to bring your will under another. So now think about this. So then we have social authorities. That would include what? Teachers, coaches, I told you. Then we have family authorities. That's a husband and a wife, father and a mother in the family, submitting to each other. And there's God's authority in the house for the children to be raised to see a healthy, godly example. And then there's church authorities. In Ephesians 4, it talks about the fivefold ministry. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of God in the Son of Man, to be a perfect man. You see? He's perfecting you through authority. Perfect means mature. We need to grow up in the things of God. I'm going to tell you something. Since Adam and Eve, people have disobeyed God all the way up to today. Disobedience has been a problem, a major problem. We're going to have to learn to embrace authority. Embrace it and welcome it in your life. When you do that, you are asking for God's help, and He's going to get involved in your life. Are you catching this? So now, today, we're talking about joy. Joy is not a suggestion. Joy is not, you know, a feeling. It's a command. It's a command. It's a command from God. And when you're willing to understand it and view it God's way, it will change everything about your life. And it will assist you in fulfilling God's will. Now, go with me to John chapter 15, verse 11. Now, this is Jesus talking. These things, and a lot of translations says these words, but he says, I've spoken to you. So he's talking about his words. Now look. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is important, folks. Jesus is telling us this because he wants your joy to be full. And that word full means complete. He wants your joy to be complete. Because see, your joy by itself will never be complete. Your joy by itself will always be never be satisfied. It won't ever be enough. You see, your joy rests on, oh, I got the stimulus check. Ha ha, hee hee. No. Your joy is, I got a new car. That's temporary. Your joy is what's happening to you. It's very temporary. But Jesus said, my joy will remain in you that your joy may be full. Jesus' joy is supernatural. It's supernatural. It supersedes our joy. And when we are in touch with Him, if we're following Jesus, see, that's the call on our life. We're to follow Jesus. You know, if we're following Jesus, we're going to look like Jesus. Right? I heard someone on the radio say a couple weeks ago, if you're going to look like Jesus, you got to look like Jesus. See, if you're going to look like Jesus, you got to look like Jesus. You got to see people the way Jesus sees people. And this is how you're going to do it, with joy. When you understand you have joy, you're not going to allow anybody, no matter what their attitude is, no matter what they've said to you, no matter what they do, it's not going to take your joy. Are you catching me? You're not going to let it take your joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your strength. And if Jesus' joy remains in you, you'll leave here today and it will last till you go to bed tonight. It's going to be there when you wake up in the morning. But you see, too many people go to church, they get their little fix, they walk out, oh, that was a good word, oh, that was awesome. 20 minutes later, they're arguing with their wife and screaming and carrying on. Are you with me? There's no joy. He said, my joy will remain in you, that your joy may be full. He wants our joy full. And it can be. It can be full. When we understand this, we're going to be watching over our hearts to not let anything take our joy. Now, I'm going to take you to Nehemiah chapter 8. I'm going to give you a little backstory. This is important to really be listening and be aware of what this is saying here. The very reason we stood up for the foundational scripture and the vision comes from this right here. They stood at the water gate. They were standing at the water gate. They would stand for 4 and 5 hours while the scripture was being read to them. See that? The water gate represents the word of God. It says in Ephesians 5:26 that we're to be washed and cleansed through the word of God. See, the word of God has a cleansing power for your life to get you to fulfill His will. You see that? Now listen to me. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and the gates around Jerusalem. And the gates represented authority. Authority. How to get into the city and out of the city. But the gates were all ruined and the walls were ruined. But now Nehemiah was called to rebuild the walls and the gates. Now pay attention. Nehemiah's name is... Nehemiah means comforter, which is the name of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. This is a type and shadow of our life. You and I are to build our lives according to the comforter, the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Nehemiah was a governor. Became governor after he built the city. You getting it? The Holy Spirit's the governor over your life. When He's governing you, He's governing you with truth. You see this? And He's building your life with truth. Now listen to me. When you understand this, you will begin to build your life on what God says. And when you build your life when God says, things are going to change. You see, they were getting ready to celebrate. They were celebrating in this chapter. I'm going to tell you something. Where you are on the struggle bus and everything, you're struggling all the time, it's because you're not obeying God. The area of your life you're struggling, it's because you haven't heard God's word on it and you're not obeying. You've heard it, but you're not obeying it. And that's where the struggle is. The gate is open. You're not under His authority. You see, that's what the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt and the gates were rebuilt now in this chapter. Now look, and Jerusalem means peace, city of peace. Now there's peace. See, now there's peace. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with yourself. You see that? When you build your life on what God says, you have peace with God, you have peace with people, and you have peace with yourself. Oh, get a hold of this. This is how it is. And this, what I'm telling you today, is going to help you walk in this way. Because when you capture this and you get this revelation, see, the devil is always trying to steal revelation. But when you get the what's revelation mean? A prophetic, redemptive uncovering. The word is being prophesied today. It's uncovering something in your life so God can redeem that area of your life and you can be set free. You see that? Redeem what God saw as most important for your life. That's what he's doing. That's what prophecy does. Now catch this. Peace. City of peace. Nehemiah governing. And he's rebuilding. Now, he steps up and he gets a hold of Ezra. Ezra is the scribe. He's the scholar, Bible scholar. So they're going to have a Bible conference. Telling you the truth. Because they had lost the scriptures. Remember, we talked about that in Judges. They lost them in Judges. They were always losing the scriptures back then. The scrolls, they found them in the wall, the gates while they were rebuilding the gates. And they found them again. And they got a hold of Ezra. We want to have a Bible conference. The city's been complete. Now we're going to help the people get back to God. And that's what this chapter is about. Now listen to me. I can't tell you how important this message is. Get a hold of this. And Nehemiah and Ezra built a platform so he could stand up on a platform and speak to Jerusalem. Because the word calls you to a higher standard of living. See that? That's where this all comes from. You know that you always find in a church, it's always higher up here. That's not for a stage. That's because the word of God is a higher place. And it calls us to a higher place for a reason and a purpose in life. Ezra is teaching the Bible out of Deuteronomy. Now listen to me. This is you. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's the word of God. The Bible. He's teaching the Bible now. Watch. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord, your God. Do not mourn nor weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. When they heard the words of the law. Now listen. So what Nehemiah is telling them, you need to stop your weeping. You know why they were weeping? Because they were hearing now what they weren't practicing. And that's why their lives were falling apart, and that's why their city was in ruin. They're being reminded that God's word is prophesying over me, and it's showing me where we should have been. That's why they were weeping. But he says, you can repent. You see that? We're not supposed to weep and cry and be sorrowful. We should rejoice. We should rejoice that we didn't let it keep going. Are you catching this? Get a hold of this. Now stay with me. Then he said to them, "Go your way." You know what he's doing? He's having a party. I'm going to tell you something. When you understand what I'm talking about, and you're building your life on what God says, and you're building it to what God says, the enemy can't get into your life. There's peace. The word peace means nothing missing, nothing broken. The devil can't get into your life when you're building according to what God says. Are you listening to me? Where he's getting in, it's where you're allowing him to come in. You see that? Where you're struggling, it's if in finances, God has a solution for that. If it's in relationships, God has a solution for that. If it's in your temperament and conduct and how you treat people, God has a solution for that. You begin to do it His way, watch your life begin to be fulfilled. Peace. Oh. Stay with me. Go your way, and you, when you understand this, you'll be up in your house singing, telling jokes and acting silly, and the devil's attacking you right and left. You don't even know what's going on. You know, you can't feel it. Are you catching this? You don't even know you're being attacked when you are in this and you're allowing it. You can rejoice right there at the table and tell stupid jokes and have fun and smile and really be happy and fulfilled in life when you understand what I'm talking about today. Now get a hold of this. Where are we at? Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portion to those who have whom nothing is prepared. Share with other people. It's time to start sharing and helping people out. Now watch this. For this is the day, this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the what? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Catch this. Remember, this joy is supernatural. It's your strength. You see, if you allow the devil to get your joy, you've given up your strength. You've given it up. You see this? The joy of the Lord is your strength. In Judges chapter 17, it talks about Samson and Delilah. And Delilah pestered Samson daily, it says. Delilah was a type of the devil. She pestered Samson daily. Samson was the one who had strong. I mean, he was strong. He would defeat hundreds of people by himself. So now she pestered him daily to find out where his strength was. She found out his weaknesses. But his strength wasn't in his hair. His strength was in his covenant with God. You see that? And he cut off his hair, but that wasn't his strength. His strength was in his covenant with God. She cut off his hair. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He couldn't beat them off because he had lost all of his strength. And that's what the enemy does. He will pester you daily to keep you from staying in your strength. And you have to understand, this is too important. I'm not allowing you to take this from me. Because I need the strength to fulfill your will and take care of my family. Now listen. So what happened? They took Samson. They gouged his eyes out. First thing, blinded him. So when you were blinded back then, you were in poverty. You stayed in poverty. So you can't see the things of God. They gouged his eyes out. They put him in prison. On circling, beating rocks. Put him in prison. You become imprisoned in your mind. And you will work and work and work. And you never are fulfilled. And you're not accomplishing anything. Because you're not in the will of God. Are you listening to me? Oh, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you need to understand that. When we understand that, we're going to protect it. It's your strength. And it will keep you, it will keep your emotions. Your emotions, when something bad happens and difficulty happens, your emotions want to go. Your anger, your disappointment, all that wants to take you places. Your fear wants to take you places that you don't want to go. But your joy is there to govern you and to keep you from going and medicating and dealing with you. You catching this? When you have the joy, you don't need alcohol. You don't need weed. You don't need sex. You don't need a pot full of money. You need Jesus. And he will keep you. And your joy will remain. And you'll have joy. Am I making sense? Come on, am I making sense? Now get a hold of this. This is huge. We're not even begun to be done yet. Listen to me. Now, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. I remember when my mom passed away, I always said I could never, because she had a lot to do with why I'm in ministry. She was in a mental institution when I was 5, and I went through all this difficult stuff, her not being at home with me. And then after the last 13 years, I got to know her, and it was unbelievable. Just awesome. And she was saved, and we just talked, and she wasn't on no medicine. It was just powerful. But I thought, I won't be able to do her funeral. But you know, when she passed away, I was strong. Not because I'm strong, because of this joy. It protected me so I could actually officiate her funeral. I've seen people lose a loved one. It just take them all out into all kinds of problems. You see this? I mean, they end up in all kinds of things because of losing a loved one. You know what? You're going to sorrow. It's natural. You're going to feel. It's going to hurt. It hurt. But this was there protecting me. It says the oil of joy. He'll give you the oil of joy for your sorrow and your grief. Are you catching this? He just gives it to you. And you can't explain it. You can't explain it. But he gives it to you. When you're in touch with him, he's protecting you. So you can be effective to what matters to you. Now stay with me. Now look at this. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. There it is. That's the dominant word in this chapter, is understanding. Understanding. You go home and read this chapter. 6 times you see the word understanding. That's why you and I need to be a part of a body, the body of Christ, where the word of God is going forth and being taught, teaching. You see that? That's the Great Commission. Teaching that they may observe my ways, his ways, Jesus' ways. Are you listening to me? And when we teach it, folks, listen, it protects you. It brings understanding in your life. You see, when you understand, my goodness, I understand. You're not going to keep doing those. You're not going to keep repeating the same problems over and over because you understand. In Proverbs 4:7, it says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Get some understanding. In Proverbs 2:10-11, it says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. You see, understanding changes things. You got too many places given a 3-point in a poem, and they're not bringing understanding. You see, when you don't have understanding, you stay ignorant.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
I've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.